Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Friday edition of Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. It's Friday. We made it to the end of the week. We're going to kick the show off here in just a second with Corndog, JC, talking a little sports around the world. And then the second half of the show, we'll be joined by FloridaGators.com senior writer Chris Harry. We're going to break down the four new basketball players for the Florida Gators, and word is it, we have more coming. So we'll get Chris's thoughts on that. Y'all know my thoughts. The team is already a better basketball team. I think any – I heard – JC, welcome to the program, by the way.
Oh, yeah, here I am. Thank you. Happy Friday, everybody.
Yes, I think I was in Jacksonville and turned it off my country station, flipped it over to the Frank Frangie show. And listen, and I think it was Seth Greenberg, maybe, you know, okay, from ESPN.
Yeah.
And he already said, and maybe I need to be a college basketball analyst on ESPN. He said the Florida Gators are a much better team already, and they ain't played a game. So you have it.
Okay. Well,
I did see where Jaden Shackelford, the point guard for Alabama, he's a junior. He's going to try the NBA. Didn't hire an agent. He'll be back.
He ain't ready for the NBA. Nah, he's not ready for that stress. you know, it's and
that stress. There ain't no damn stress in the NBA. It's like going out to the YMCA and play. Have you watched any NBA this year, JC?
No.
Okay, I haven't really either. But every now and then, you know, you flip through the channels and the game's on, and I'll watch a few minutes. Half these damn games, the players ain't even playing. They take they play a game, then sit two games, play a game.
I don't know why that
matter.
Is.
No, it doesn't matter until postseason play.
Yeah, and all you're really doing is positioning yourself for the postseason during the regular season, I guess. But, you know, I will get more excited about some of these sports when there's fans again, because to me, if there's no atmosphere, I'm just watching practice. That's just what it feels like to me. And whether that's a good analogy or not, I don't really care. That's how it feels for me. Having said that, I think we're getting closer and closer to the reality that University of Florida is going to have a full stadium in the fall. And I think they're going to have a full stadium out of basically the need for business. They need it. They really, really need the money. So let's just go with that. As far as teams making themselves better, NFL draft's coming up here in, what is it, 2 weeks, QB? Is it the end of the month? So it seems more and more likely that, and so for some reason I can't figure this out. By the way, ESPN had a special on Kyle Pitts last night. I was kind of watching until I dozed off. With he and his girlfriend out there, he looked like he was on some beach. But the hopes for him are very high. I like Kyle Pitts. I've always thought he was really a good guy and a good player, of course. But it looks like there's literally 100% chance that Mac Jones, who came out of really nowhere this past season. Well, I shouldn't say that. He was given a chance once Tua got hurt. But he's going to be the third pick in the NFL draft because the 49ers literally traded up to get him. And that's been speculative. That's been nothing more than a guess. But it just seems like more and more people are writing now that – and they wouldn't be writing this. I mean, Michael Lombardi of the NFL – would not be writing this if there wasn't some sort of information coming to him.
Well,
so
I saw a thing on Twitter this morning, actually. I can't remember who posted it, but they did like a secretive poll among, I don't know if it was general managers or people in front offices of all 32 NFL teams. Mm-hmm. And 31 out of the 32 teams all were convinced that Mac Jones is going to be a San Francisco 49er.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I think for Mac Jones, there couldn't be a better he's just so fortunate that that somebody like that wants him, because offensively, they're really very good. And they'll put players around him, and they have players around him. They've got tight ends. They've got wide outs. They've got a running back here and there. If they stay healthy, the 49ers are as talented as any team in the league. So certainly that's, you know, when you're a draft pick, I guess you're just happy to be picked, obviously. You know, you've got your money, you've got your new life and everything. But some people really look at who they're being drafted by. And we've seen in the past guys like Eli Manning and John Elway and people like that. You know, sometimes they don't want to go where they're picked. And, you know, if you get drafted by the New York Jets or you get drafted by the San Francisco 49ers, well, I mean, you know, there's in terms of playing. But then, of course, you also look at geography. And I know everybody just wants to get picked. Doesn't matter. But if somebody had a choice to play for the Miami Dolphins or somebody like the Buffalo Bills or the Chicago Bears, to me, it's pretty obvious who you would – I think you would want to play for, but that's just all guess for me. I just think that, you know, you have six states in this country, I think, six or seven, maybe more, that have no state income taxes. Tennessee is one of them. Texas is another one of them. Florida is another one of them. Right there, you have one, two, three, four, five, six NFL franchises in three states that have no state income taxes. That really matters, because when you're pulling down $70,000 in a game on a Sunday afternoon, QB, and you've got an 8% state and local tax, which, you know, players who play in who are domiciled in Tampa still have to pay taxes in New York if they play a game against the Buffalo Bills, and I see that. But they know that 10 games are going to be played, or 8 games now, or 9 or whatever, are going to be played on their home field in all likelihood, unless they have to go to England. So.
Yeah, I'm curious, you know, you just brought up a point where the NFL is going to a 17-game regular season schedule.
Yeah.
Somebody's not going to get as many home games as the other team.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Because
it's very strange.
It is strange, and I don't know how that rotation will work. And then, of course, you know, they are really pushing for games to be played in Mexico City. They're pushing for games to be played in London. You said that you've been to Japan twice, and granted, those were just exhibition games. They've played games in Toronto, Canada. You know, so, I mean, the NFL is trying to, you know, it's like what the other pro leagues are trying to do. They're trying to get out there internationally, I guess, and sell their stuff. And so I don't know how that works, you know, as far as taxes go and paychecks go if you play a game in London. But maybe that was part of the deal of going there, that, you know, we wouldn't have to pay British taxes if we play our game there. So I got friends of ours that are calling me knowing – that I'm on the podcast, QB. So
Okay, go ahead. On Facebook Live, brought to you by Melton Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. Coach Bill Wiles says Mac Jones is a winner and can play. The Niners have enough weapons around him to make Mac better. I think Kyle Shanahan's one of the top five play callers in the league. Yeah. I think he'll be great out there. JC, we'll talk. I had Alex Marvez on yesterday, and we talked a lot of draft.
I like you.
You know, you talked about Kyle Pitts. If I'm the Atlanta Falcons, who picked fourth,
I don't.
Why in the hell they're even thinking about taking Trey Lance or whoever? Matt Ryan is a damn good player. He's only 35 years old.
Yep.
Think about this offense. You got Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and they got a couple other really good little slot guys. And then you put Pitts with that.
I agree. How would anybody pass on somebody like that when they need to get their quarterback help? And I was saying that the Dolphins could be that team only because the two teams in front of them wouldn't be smart enough to get Kyle Pitts, because the Atlanta Falcons they just don't win, right? And then who was picking fifth?
Bengals.
Cincinnati is going to definitely go with a wide receiver. So why?
I think Alex said they're going to go O-line.
Chase. They're going to go O-line. To protect Burrow, that would make sense. So that who is it? That Oregon Duck, Penny. they might look at him. But man, you know, when you look at Julio Jones, can you depend on him for 17 games? No, maybe half of that. Can you depend on? Their running back situation is always an issue. Matt Ryan needs help, and if Atlanta's got any brains, that would be their pick. If I was their GM, that's who I would take.
Yeah. Refresh your vehicle and your brand with a vehicle wrap from WrapSpot. April's your lucky month at WrapSpot. Mention promo code SHAME. Receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. Speaking with JC on the Titan MR hotline, we'll be joined around 8:30. Chris Harry from FloridaGators.com. We're going to talk about the four basketball transfers that the Gators have added to the roster. All right, JC, let's jump into some Gator news and notes. Gymnastics, the national championship, the two semifinals start today. I know you'll be tuned to your TV. It's today and tomorrow. They're actually going to be televised on ESPN and ABC tomorrow. But, you know, Gators are going for their, I think, their fourth gymnastics national title.
Yeah.
So good luck to them today. Softball has a huge series. JC, you're probably not aware of this because you – I mean, I know this sounds horrible, but Gator softball is almost like a foregone conclusion now. It's like, okay, let's go 55-8 and then talk to me once we get to the playoffs.
That's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah. So right now they're 30-5. Out of those five losses, they've lost to two non-SEC teams.
Right.
Twice. Do you know who they are?
Central Florida is one of them.
Yeah, we can't beat the Lady Knights.
Explain that to me in a coherent sense.
They're good.
No, they are.
My concern is we had a viewer or listener do a Facebook Live yesterday, or maybe the day before. No, it was yesterday. You know, because when you get to that first regional before the super regional, the NCAA tries to do it by region. You know, you usually have Bethune-Cookman come here, FAU, USF. Yeah. Well, Lord, I sure hope the UCF Knights don't come here.
The way I look at it is, granted, they have definitely spanked Florida a couple times. But I think when Florida gets their – now they have Florida's attention. And when –
Well, they had our attention after loss one, trust me.
True.
Tim was not happy.
No, and I'm sure he was very upset the second time. So
– Yeah, it was 7-0.
I saw that. So, you know, it's very odd. I don't have an answer for you. But I would say that – good for Central Florida. However, you know, Florida's been there and done that. And sometimes you just don't get up. I mean, it's just, you know, the nature of sports and athleticism and athletes. Sometimes a Tuesday night game against Central Florida just doesn't get the motor going. And it, not that I'm, I mean, that is an excuse more than anything, but
that's
it's also,
excuse.
But well, it is, but it's also, I think, reality in some respect. You explain to me why they don't score on UCF. Go ahead.
Because UCF beat
the crap out of them. They got Monica Abbott pitching.
They're very good. They're ranked in the top 20.
You're going to say they were a very good basketball team, weren't you?
Yeah, I was. So my point is, I just hope when it comes time for regional, super regional, the Lady Knights ain't in our region.
I'll tell you what, if they are, we have a friend who lives in Tallahassee currently who blows up the UCF banner whenever they do something well, who still thinks they're the national champions. I'll be more than happy to see how confident he is in those nights when they play the Gators in a regional. How's that? I'll take Florida.
Yeah. So anyway, softball is at, you know, I think we're ranked. We're in the top five. It changes in different weeks, but at Bama's in the top five.
UCF so probably thinks they're number one.
We're in Tuscaloosa this weekend.
Oh, yeah. That's
Top five matchup with
Crimson Tide. Yeah. You know, gymnastics and softball, both schools, Alabama and Florida, are very good at and have won national titles in both sports. So anytime Florida and Alabama hook up, it's going to be great. And that's why this stadium, 6 miles to my east, needs to be full because of that white and crimson team rolling in here in September. It needs to be full.
Oh, it will be cool. Volleyball wins their first match in postseason play. I'm not sure who they play next. We'll ask Chris Harry. And baseball hosts the Missouri Tigers. They need a sweep.
Okay. They'll sweep Missouri.
Yeah.
They will.
Rick says on Facebook Live, UCF is more motivated to beat Gators. I'm gonna.
Well, that goes to what I was saying.
I know. I understand where y'all are coming from, but I'm going to disagree with you on that because softball is a little bit different, in my opinion, than baseball, those midweek games. Because in your midweek games in baseball, you're not pitching your normal rotation that you have in the weekend. In softball, the same damn girls pitch every game. Now, Tim has a rotation where he pitches 2 to 3 different girls each game. But just tip your hat. UCF kicked our butts twice. And, you know, we'll see what happens from there. But anyway, JC, you want to hear what this day in sports is all about?
I've been waiting for that since 6:30 this morning.
I figured you would.
Since 6:30 this morning, the first thing I thought of was, what happened this day in sports back
A lot of stuff happened, but I picked one thing. Our good friends at Comfort Temp, Comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. From now until May 31st, folks, get the preventative maintenance plan. It's only $169 and save almost 40% off the normal cost. Any maintenance schedule between now and May 31st will be entered to win a Nest thermostat with installation. This day in sports, I'm actually going to go back to 2019. Now, this has changed, so I want you to tell me who's making the most money now. The Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson became the highest paid player in NFL history with a four-year, $140 million extension, including a $65 million signing bonus. That was what happened this day in sports in 2019, but now maybe more than one guy is making more money than him now.
Well, JC? Okay, well, obviously that ridiculous contract that was given to Dak Prescott, and then you have, I would guess, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I would think.
Yeah, I think it's those two.
Yeah, and you know, listen, Dallas, I guess they just – I think Jerry – again, I have no basis for this, but I just get this feeling that Jerry felt bad for Dak. And Dak has
some pretty good numbers. Oh, so let's feel bad for a guy and give him all that money? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
But Jerry has – Jerry pays these guys, QB. You know this. I mean, what did he give Elliott, $100 million for a running back? QB, come on. Nobody's who's running an organization gives $100 million to a silly running back who's got about a 60% chance of finishing the season. So I don't see where all this why he's doing this. I mean, I know they tinker with the contracts, and a lot of it goes up front, a lot of it's incentives and so forth. But man, you can really screw your cap if you just load up on one player. I think Aaron Rodgers found that out in Green Bay a couple of years ago. Yeah, he had nobody around him, and look what happened to him. They got killed. So I guess Kansas City is going to be the team that I would look out for, because if they get healthy up front, and they do have the Rams center, Austin Blythe is going to Kansas City now from the Rams, and he was a very good player. I would expect them again be the favorite in the AFC, and I think the Rams and a couple others are going to have a shot in the NFC. I think the Rams are a team you want to keep your eye on because of Matt Stafford, and they will draft very late in the draft, but they'll get a quality offensive lineman to take care of Stafford. And the word is Landon Dickerson might be the guy they look at, who blew out his knee in the semifinal game.
I don't think he's an early round guy, is he?
No, the Rams don't pick until 58. So
yeah, I see him being like a fourth or fifth round pick.
Maybe, but I think before he got hurt, he could have easily made the case. He was the leader of the best offensive line in college football, QB.
Well, that doesn't mean he's going to be a first round or second round draft pick at the National Football
League. Well, I think it gives him an opportunity to be looked at. And
he will get an opportunity, but I don't see him being a high pick, especially coming off an injury. JC, our golf picks are brought to you by Peachland Dentistry, Gator Nation's number one choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte and surrounding areas. Visit them at peachlanddental.com. Your guy, by the way, this week. my guy, Colin Morikawa, is only three shots back. He shot six under.
Yeah.
Billy Horschel had a good outing. He shot five under. I think I had another couple of them, but your guys are nowhere to be found.
Well, no, my guys are even par. That's nine strokes behind.
Yeah, which on that course, that means you better shoot about 15 under today, or you're just going to fall farther behind.
I think so. Yeah. Hey, when is the restaurant open, QB? I'm just waiting for this. I forgot what they said.
They don't have an official date, but it's like mid-June, I believe. I'm sure before that they'll have a couple of soft openings with family and friends, and maybe you can get on that list if you know somebody.
I just want to know if somebody I know who I'm talking to right now has a little corner spot upstairs at Visors, so that's where he's going to be pretty much every time he goes.
Who?
You.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to talk to anybody. But like I told you,
thank God your podcast. Right. Every day you have a guest on.
Here's it's going to be. And again, if you want to take a tour, all you got to do, I think, go to their website or contact my people at potupwithshane.com.
Yeah,
and they do like two or three tours a day.
Oh, yeah.
But the you know, the visors is the best part. And it's a museum of the HBC. I mean, the Heisman, the shoe, kick the freaking field goal, the ball, everything is in there. It's all
polished,
in there.
Polished casuals, how they is what they are. They are polished casuals.
But the best part, in my opinion, that fans are going to like the best is when they go to the bathroom, men's or women's bathroom, their ball plays drawn up how he used to draw them up.
Yeah.
What the read, what happened. Of his favorite plays from all the way from, I think, when he was coaching the Bandits or at Duke, all the way into the Apollos. So it's a wallpaper. People are going to like the most.
You might have a couple plays up there with your name on them.
There's a few.
Yeah. Right above the urinal?
Well, it depends on, I guess, where the sheets, when they hung the wallpaper. It could be in different places.
It's really cool. I looked at it, and it's very busy in there. But it will get your attention, and if you are inclined with football knowledge, it would be cool to see for sure. And even if you're not, it's just interesting to see how this all works, you know. So
yeah, it's gonna. But also I know they're hiring right now. They're going to try to hire over 300 people. Whew. So JC, if you know anybody that wants to go interview to work,
I think he said that they may be the fifth or sixth largest employer in the county. So. That's amazing for a restaurant. I mean, that is amazing.
So Richard says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mental Law, how would you know about women's restrooms? Well, Richard, I took a tour.
Yes,
nobody's actually using the restrooms right now. It's still under construction, so that's how I know.
Oh, Richard, trying to be a smart aleck. Well, it's okay.
For all your in-depth Gator recruiting news, go to firstand10florida.com. Use the promo code 2 for 2 right now and get 2 months for just $2. Firstand10florida.com, your premier Florida Gators recruiting news.
Before you run me off, QB, we'll talk about this off the air, of course, but next week's going to be exciting for us because here it is Friday, and next week we're going to be on the road.
Yeah, we'll be in Mississippi for some events. I got to take care of some other stuff there, but it should be a lot of fun. We'll be doing remote locations, although a lot of my shows are remote now, and you don't know where I am because I have my different backgrounds.
That's very true.
We know you're sitting in your kitchen, JC. So.
That's right. Well, I'm going to start moving it out to the back porch here shortly. At some point, aren't we going to be in a studio again, maybe? Do you know anything?
Yes, we'll be doing it from Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. They're his pot-up studio right there.
Now, but they're not open at 8 o'clock in the morning. So.
No. There won't be patrons asking for your autograph, JC.
Well, maybe one of these nights, you know, if we ever do recordings and so forth, you know, during the height of the dinner hour, we can go through there and all your fans will clap and we'll go into the room. It could be so exciting, QB. It really will.
Yes, it could. Okay, so you got I know Alabama has a bunch of transfers coming through their basketball program.
Oh, this is
what I wanted to bring up, JC. Hang on a second before we let you go. I got to get your thoughts on this. I don't know if you saw the other day, ESPN came out with their FPI rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama was number one. You know who number 8 was?
I saw some of those teams. I had no idea where they came from. I thought it was the
Mississippi State Bulldogs. Okay, but ESPN came out with their projected win totals for the SEC. Okay, right. Alabama's at 11.1, A&M at 9.6. Mississippi State is at 8.2.
Where do they come up with that?
I have no idea. They have the same win percentage as the Florida Gators for next year.
Well, I don't really know. I mean, first of all, they were a miserable team last year, had a losing record, did win their bowl game, but I guess they really are high on Will Rogers at quarterback. I don't know. I mean, who they got?
But I mean, it's crazy. Maybe we need to look at their schedule. I don't know what their – I mean, I know who they play. They play all these teams in the West.
Yeah, right? So it wasn't just Mississippi State. There was another team in that poll, and I wish I had bookmarked that.
Well, John says Iowa State was at 4, but Iowa State, they have everybody coming back. They have their entire team coming back.
I know, but 4 QB, really? 4?
No. I'm more blown away
with the Mississippi State deal. Is Purdy
still there? Their whole team's back. The running back's back.
Yeah, no, they're going to be really stout. Probably picked to pick to win the Big 12, along with Oklahoma and Texas right there. So, it's surprising poll, but you know what it did? It got our attention. It got us to look at it, and now it's gotten us to talk about it, which is really what the polls are about. Because we all know that the committees are the ones who decide the playoffs. And I hope for the future of college football, we advance the conversation of expanding this from four to either six or eight teams. I hope we get there to that point. We've gotten close to free agency now, basically. They're going to start paying for NIL. And the eventual and obvious next move for college football is to expand the postseason. That's, I think, what's going to happen. Too much money is floating around out there not to do something like that. And these guys have to be smart enough to think about that.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to bring up before we let you go here and get to Chris Harry in a minute. There was a article I was reading. It was all talk about the transfer portal, how the game of college athletics is changing, and it's going to change, and it ain't going back. And they talked about Texas State University. Okay, it's a Division I school. Gosh, what's the guy's name? He was the offensive coordinator for Johnny Manziel. Young guy. He's their head coach. Jake Spavital.
Spavital. Okay. Yeah. Well,
But here's my point. Here's my point. Sure. He did not sign in his recruiting class this year, did not sign one kid out of high school. Mm-hmm. Every player came from JUCO or the transfer portal.
And they want more. Yeah.
That's what the article was about, that schools are going to, if they can get one of the top five stars or four stars, they will do it. Other than that, they're going to do their entire recruiting class off the transfer portal.
Well, they just want more developed and you know, older players, I guess, but experienced players. But correct me here if I'm wrong, but wasn't Cliff Kingsbury also Johnny Manziel's OC? I think under Kevin Sumlin, he was his freshman year, and that's how he got the job at Texas Tech.
Well, Spavital was there when Johnny won the Heisman Trophy.
So that would have been his second year then?
I don't know. I think
it would have been.
Spavital was there. Then he went to West Virginia.
Maybe it was his first year. Damn.
Virginia with Dana.
But it wasn't Cliff Kingsbury. Okay. All right. Well, I know it's Kevin Sumlin was the coach. I do know that. They had Mike Evans. They had so many great players. Good stuff.
The point of the whole article was that high school kids, a lot of kids being recruited are not going to be being recruited from now on.
So what's going to happen to them?
I don't know.
At some point, you got to keep filling the needs. I mean, you have hundreds of teams.
I don't really know, but I just thought it was interesting that Texas State did not sign one high school kid this year in their recruiting class. Now they stink, so they needed good players. It's very interesting. All right, JC.
All right,
good weekend, my man. We'll talk to you on Monday.
We'll see you then. Okay.
That's JC joining us on the Titan MR Hotline. We're going to take our first time out of the program. When we come back, we'll be joined by Chris Harry from FloridaGators.com talking about the new four additions to the Florida Gator basketball program. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. We'll be right back.
Hey, Gators, this is Coach Steve Spurrier. Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Route Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, TB Financial, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Darshakow Insurance. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Celebration Points, where the Gators go to celebrate with premium brands like Regal Cinemas, Dave & Buster's, Le Macaron, Sushi Hana, Bass Pro Shop, and coming June of 2021, the HBC's new restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill and Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar. We will see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators go to celebrate. I want to thank JC for joining us on the Titan Amore Hotline. We're waiting on Chris Harry to join us, talk a little Gator basketball. He'll be joining us in just a second. In the meantime, we got a Facebook Live brought to you by Melton Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. John says, they all rode Johnny Football's coattails to greener pastures. Well, that's true. That's usually what happens. You have good players, you win games, you get jobs elsewhere. Cliff says on Facebook Live, if that is accurate, the NCAA may be investigating Mississippi State after next season. Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. We shall see. But I want to mention our winner for our – I got to put it up here – for our G-Tech Clean Survival Kit for this week goes to Stephanie Langston. Stephanie Langston, you are the winner. Contact our folks, and they will get that out to you. We're now going to go to the Titan MR Hotline. And we're joined by a guy who probably hadn't had much sleep lately, been typing the typewriter. I think he still has a typewriter for FloridaGators.com. Chris Harry. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Hey, Shane. How are you? And a typewriter, really? We actually do have a – my wife is was a reporter, too, back in the day. We actually do have a typewriter in our house from, like, the 1920s or something, but I actually wasn't alive then, contrary to popular belief. So
yes. All right, Chris, I know you've been busy. Mike White and his staff have been busy with the transfer portal. I wanted to bring you on today, and I know we'll probably be adding a few more players eventually, but let's just kind of tell us what you know, let the Gator Nation know. I personally think we're a better basketball team already, but let's talk about Brandon McKissick, the transfer from Missouri, Kansas City.
All right, well, I mean, you're talking about a guy who was, I wrote about him. You can check it out on FloridaGators.com. I'm going to do little posts about each one of these guys as they kind of roll out. I mean, we're talking about a 1,000-point scorer. We're talking about a guy who five times is over 20 points this year. And I know people start talking about level of competition and what have you. And if you want to have that conversation, we can certainly have it about Canyon Berry, who came from the College of Charleston. If you want to have that conversation, we can talk about Igor Kulichev, who came from Rice. Now, I'm not saying these guys are going to be super productive like those guys, but they have been productive at previous spots, and they are older, so they know how to deal with a lot of things, and they have developed through programs and played at fairly high level. I mean, Brandon McKissick played in the Summit League. Anybody knows anything about the Summit League who paid attention to the Gators this season? Oral Roberts played in the Summit League. Brandon McKissick and Max Abscess had some knockdown dragouts, two games this year. They split those two games. Both players, I think Max had 24 in one game. McKissick had 24 in one game. I think in one of those games, McKissick, I think, played all 40 minutes and guarded the guy the whole time. And this was a first team all league player, defensive player of the year in the league. So I mean, it's an upgrade relative to experience. I mean, I'm looking. I crunched the numbers here before we start going down the list of these guys. Okay, the four outgoing transfers. We're talking about Noah Locke. We're talking about Omar Payne. Locke is at Louisville now. Omar Payne landed at Illinois. Quez Glover, who went to Samford, and Osayo Sifo, who went to Jacksonville. Okay, those four guys played in 227 combined games. They have 8 combined seasons. They have 94 combined starts. Okay, they have 1,323 points combined. Noah Locke has 933 of those points. These guys coming in, Shane, we're talking about 338 combined games, 255 starts, combined 13 seasons, and almost 4,000 points among them. So we're talking about productivity, and we're talking about experience. In the last couple years, 2 years ago, when Kerry Blackshear was here, Florida had the youngest team in the nation in terms of straight experience rotational players. So it's a big jump. We can go to the next guy. Who's your next guy you want to talk about?
Yeah, well I want to mention something. You talked about the level of competition. You know, what I try to tell people, because I watch a lot of college basketball, if you look at, I think it's J.D. Notte, played at Arkansas. He's from JU.
That's right.
Maceo Teague, who just dominated in the national championship game, UNC Asheville. So it doesn't matter where you come from. These guys are good players. So the other guy from Boston College, C.J. Felder.
C.J. Felder was the number two shot blocker in the ACC. The only guy who blocked more shots than him was Jay Huff at Virginia. You watch a lot of college basketball, the guy's 7-1 and is probably going to play in the NBA. So C.J. Felder, almost 10 points, almost 6 rebound guy, very long, active around the glass kind of guy, good defender. You don't want to pinpoint him in a 3 or a 4, right? He can probably play either one of those. Probably can guard the 2 if he wants to. He's a guy who's played 50 games. I think he started 35 of them. He's got 3 years eligibility remaining too. So he helps the Gators up front instantly. He's not a great 3-point shooter, but he shot, I believe, close to 60% inside the arc. You're hoping when he's coming here, that's probably where he's going to be floating around more inside the arc than outside.
Now, the one guy that I'm really excited about, because, you know, it's one of those where I'm at home one night flipping around, watch a little Big Ten basketball because nothing else is on. I think the Myron Jones guy from Penn State's a pretty good player.
I mean, so over the last 2 years, he had 15 points. Over the last 2 years in the Big Ten, he averaged 14.3 points, shot 41% from the floor, 39.9 from three, and almost 78% at the free throw line. So he's productive in a huge league, okay? People say Big Ten was the best league in the country this past year. They didn't show up in the NCAA tournament. That really doesn't matter, in my opinion. He was a productive against high level guys. Now, these incoming transfers, with the exception of Felder, are mostly guards, but they're bigger guards, rebounding guards, defensive guards. I want to look at this guy had, I want to say, he had 21 points and was 9 of 17 against Illinois. He had 23 points against Purdue. He was 8 of 12, 3 for 3 from 3 against Wisconsin. He can go get his own shot. Again, accomplished guy. 29 points with 6 3-pointers against Nebraska. Productive high level.
Yep. Now, the all-name guy, Flandris Fleming Jr. from Charleston Southern. Mm-hmm. You know, Tom Collette's going to love saying that name when he knocks down a 3-pointer. What can you tell us about Flandris?
That's assuming Tom can say it when he gets all excitable and stuff. He may be spitting as he comes out of his mouth. No, first team all Big South and the defensive player of the year in the Big South. So now you got 2 defensive player of the years from 2, granted, mid, low, major, whatever you want to classify them, leagues. But they're proven commodities as guards. I mean, this guy, I want to say another 1,000-point score, 500 rebounds, 200 assists, 100 steals in his career, 50 block shots. I'm told this guy takes some crazy shots. I'm told this guy is a little excitable on the court. That's going to, you do that in the SEC, the officials aren't going to let you get away with a whole lot of that. So he also takes some crazy shots. So that's going to be up to the coaches. But, I mean, he had freedom there. Now, I think on this team at Charleston Southern this year, 3 starters were lost to season-ending injuries. So he's kind of like a guy on an island at the end. He was jacking up whatever he could at all time. But, I mean, his numbers were pretty damn good. 20 points a game, 7.5 rebounds a game. I'm told he is a rebounding machine. He chases them. Now, that's good because Florida wasn't a great rebounding team this year, but Trey Mann was an awfully good rebounding down from that guard position, almost 6 a game. I think he was the second leading rebounder on the team this season. So they'll miss that. So there's your 4 guys. Like I said, it's almost 4,000 points among 4 guys. So these guys have put the ball in the basket before. They've done so consistently over their careers. All of them have played, with the exception of Felder, who will be a junior, a true junior. All of them have played at least 3 or 4 years in their league and been starters most of the time. So say what you will, if you look around the league, these are the guys are getting. I mean, Kentucky got maybe the best transfer on the market. The guy's name is Skip. They scored 2,000 points at Davidson. He's second all-time scorer there behind Steph Curry. You know, he's going to be a good player in the Southeastern Conference. And to your point, Baylor had a few of them. You didn't mention a guy. You and I texted about this that night. They had a guy in their rotation from Presbyterian. And a pretty good player, a productive player at times, and a very good defender. So I think the Gators, obviously they got more experience. We talked about that. I think maybe they got a little more competitive. And if they didn't get, but it's certainly going to be more competitive at practice time, because a lot of these guys are going to be fighting for minutes. Here's the deal. The last couple years, I've watched, certainly not this year, 2 years before that, I've watched the teams, okay? You watch them before the season starts. You say, man, this team looks really, really good. This guy looks really, really good. I can see this guy doing this. You don't know until the game starts. You don't know how guys are going to handle rotations and minutes and lack of playing time. All these guys played upwards of 30 minutes, if not more, at their place. That's not going to happen here. How are they going to handle that? We won't know until November, December.
Chris, we should expect maybe a couple more additions to the transfer portal as well, right?
Well, I mean, right now their scholarships are at 12. And so they have one opening. Colin Castleton is going through the underdraftman or the underclassman process. I expect him to come back. I think he's doing the right thing. I think he's feeling out. I think he'll go there and do stuff, and they'll say you need to do A, B, and C, work on your game this year. And that's what Andrew Nembhard did the last few years, and it probably worked out well for him. The wild card is, in terms of a scholarship, is what's going to happen with Keontae Johnson. So that's going to play itself out over the next few months. Like we've talked about here before, he has a battery of medical examinations and tests and what have you that he has to go through. And then there's a matter of whether or not doctors will clear him to play, whether he's going to try to play. He said when we spoke in February that that's his goal. He wants to play basketball again. When and where that will be, again, that's a story we'll follow closely.
At Chris Doering Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doering Mortgage today, 352-244-0840. We're speaking with Chris Harry from FloridaGators.com. You can follow Chris on Twitter at GatorsChris. Chris, before we move on to some other things, I got to ask you, the transfers that we have coming in, those four guys, they all just have 1 year left except the BC kid. He could play a few extra years, right?
He would have three. You got to roll the COVID in for all these guys. So two of them are playing on that free COVID year. Myron Jones, the Penn State kid, has only played 3 years at Penn State. Oh, so he could have a second year if you want to see.
Okay. We got a couple Facebook Live questions here for you, brought to you by Meldon Law. This isn't a question, it's a comment. It's from John. He says, a knock on Mike White from another Gators website is that he can't develop talent. Well, this year he will have players on the roster that are already developed. That's a good roster. See, I have issues when people talk about the term develop. A coach can only do so much. You know, you think back, people want to say Steve Spurrier was one of the best quarterback coaches, gurus. Well, he had a bunch of dudes he signed that he couldn't develop to play worth a damn.
That's right.
You know,
just
because these guys aren't developing, it's not a knock against the coach. Sometimes you just ain't that good. I could be wrong, but do you somewhat agree with that?
Well, Shane, developing is a two-way street, isn't it? So how much time? You know, guys got to get in the gym. Did Trey Mann develop?
Trey Mann's a damn good player. He got better.
He averaged 5 points a game last year and 1.7 rebounds a game last year. He's an all-league player and maybe a first-round draft pick. Did Keontae Johnson develop?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, people want to point to guys like, I don't know, they can go back and say someone like, did Andrew Nembhard develop? I mean, at the beginning of his freshman year, he had a really hard time finishing around the basket. He did much better than that. I mean, he developed good enough that Gonzaga took him. Did he develop more there? Yeah, maybe so. He had a lot better players around him. But developing includes gym time, and the coaches are allowed to spend so much time with those guys. So a lot of that has to be on their own. Guys have to go get managers and do stuff and work to make their games better. You talk about not develop. Did Justin Leon develop? You know, he was a junior college guy from Conway, Arkansas. He came here. He was okay as a junior. He was damn good. And right in the middle of that elite eight run. So I'm with you, and you as a quarterback know how much time you have to put in with your guys, mm-hmm. and how much of your own free time has to be spent trying to make yourself a great basketball player. So, like I said, it's a two-way street.
Yeah, and it's not a coach's fault when you're on a fast break and you dribble it off your foot out of bounds.
John saw that a few times too, yeah.
Yeah, John's question on Facebook Live here. Chris, have you heard anything about who Mike White is looking to replace for Coach Mincy?
I have some ideas about that. I'm probably
can't
not
talk gonna, about it.
I would rather not share. I mean, these guys have current jobs or what have you. So, no, that's a process. There's any number of directions they could go. You want somebody who has some kind of established credentials or what have you. So we'll see what happens with that.
Okay. We got a text on the TitanMR text line for you, Chris. Chris wants to know, this is from George. George says, were you surprised that Scotty Lewis entered the NBA draft, and do you think he gets drafted?
Personally, I do not think he'll get drafted. I wasn't particularly surprised. I mean, that's always been his ambition. I just think the circumstances now are different. I mean, Scotty Lewis to me right now is a G League player. Certainly he could have a fine career overseas like some of these other guys who have played here have, but Scotty Lewis had a hard time staying on the court this past year with foul trouble. And there's some other things that he has to work on his game. He didn't shoot the three nearly as well as he did as a freshman. And the fact he shot it as well as he did as a freshman was something of a surprise because he wasn't known as a shooter, a very good shooter when he got here. So his defense, I know he was heralded as a great defensive player. It was okay. It wasn't elite like a lot of people thought he was. So he's got some work to do. Some of these guys, I just know that I know what these guys look like now. Like I see like Dorian Finney-Smith now, when he comes back and we see each other and say, hello, these guys look so different 5 years from now than when they did when they played. You know, mm-hmm. they mature so much. They get so much bigger and so much happens. And when they do turn pro and get a taste of what the pro lifestyle is, they figure out pretty quickly what they need to do. So Sky Lewis is a smart guy. He'll figure some things out. I think just because of his elite athleticism, he's going to get a look. But drafted, man, there's a lot of good players out there. I don't know that what he's put on the back of his basketball card is going to get him there right now.
I want to get your thoughts. Musselman at Arkansas just signed a new deal. He's going to be making about $4 million per year. And I saw where Jimmy Dykes tweeted, five of the top 12 highest paid coaches in the country are in the SEC now in basketball.
That's amazing.
It is.
Well,
crazy.
Yeah. And I remember Billy Donovan signed a $4 million contract, I think a month before he took a job in the NBA. And at that time, I think he was one of four guys making $4 million a year. Now you got Eric Musselman making $4 million a year. So again, that was what, 7 years ago. Yeah, Musselman had quite the year, and he's got this this new wave of building rosters kind of figured out. Remember at Nevada, I think he had 10 transfers, maybe 9.
Yeah,
this is how it is, man. This is, I mean, until especially now that the NCAA has officially passed this rule that's going to allow these guys to walk away, you're going to have I'll just bring up a guy, Niles Lane, was a pretty good player out of New Jersey. You know, top 100 kind of player. He comes and he plays a little bit. I mean, in the old days, play a little bit as a freshman, figure some stuff out, get better as a sophomore. By the time you're a junior, you know, you've worked yourself into either a starting role or a main, like 22-minute reserve or whatever. Now these guys are coming in over top of you. Now where is Niles Lane going to think about leaving? So the whole business model for college basketball has switched. Now, I'm using it as an example. I don't know anything about what Niles Lane plans to do. But the idea that you can be a developmental guy and that you're recruiting this guy to be a culture guy and a developmental guy in 2 years from now, they're not thinking like that. They're not thinking like that, okay? Because,
nope.
I mean, even when a guy like Noah Locke, who scored over 900, he could have stayed here. He could stay here two more years when you think about it. He could have left here maybe as a 1,500-point scorer and one of the top three three-point shooters in the history of this program. You know, he wanted a different role for himself. And we'll see if he found it at Louisville. But the guy started 3 years here, and it's, he played almost 28 minutes a game this past year, and that wasn't good enough for him. So this is a different situation now than what Mike White and some of these guys signed up for. Some guys have figured out a little sooner. Musselman, being an NBA guy, he was the head coach of two NBA teams. He's had a little different background in dealing with guys bouncing around, you know, because he had to deal with free agency. That's kind of what this has become now, free agency.
Yeah, I meant to take a picture, screenshot, this thing I was looking at the other day about just the SEC, the amount of transfers each school had in basketball. The Gator Nation thinks Florida has a bunch. We're down at the bottom. There's some schools that have a ton of kids that have left the program.
Well, here's this. I retweeted this. I'm looking at it right now. As of yesterday, here's a tally of players exiting SEC rosters. Missouri 9, Georgia 8, Tennessee 8, Kentucky 7, Florida 7, Ole Miss 7, South Carolina 7, Arkansas 6, Auburn 6, Vanderbilt 6, LSU 5, A&M 5, Alabama 4, Mississippi State 4. That's a lot. That's a lot of guys.
That's a lot. And some of those teams you mentioned were – Sweet 16 and Elite 18. I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, Tennessee's got 8 guys going. You know, and they were picked to win the league. They were a damn good team. What, were they a 3 seed? I know they lost their first round game, but that's not saying they weren't a good team. I mean,
It's crazy. That's the way of the world now.
It's not.
I don't think college basketball coaches are going to recruit a whole lot of kids out of high school, which is going to be weird. They may get one or two, but I think the portal is the way to go. In basketball, and as you mentioned, Musselman's been doing it for many, many years, and now people are catching up with him.
I think the blue bloods and some higher profile, the annual top 10 team are going to get a bounty of the 5-star guys. They're going to go to places like that. The next level, the next tier guys are going to be hard to get.
All right, Chris. Appreciate your time, my man. FloridaGators.com. You got some good stuff. You're going to have a piece you're running on each one of these new guys.
Yes, I will, over the course of the next few days.
Okay, awesome. We appreciate your time, Chris. Be safe, we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
That's Chris Harry from FloridaGators.com, senior writer, does a tremendous job. We're going to take our final time out of this program. When we come back, we'll wrap up this Friday edition.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Big Mills Cheesesteaks, MB Listing, Cornerstone Financial, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Chick-fil-A on Archer Road, Avery and Smith, Dowling Signs, Chomp Carter Apparel, Ruse Ogre Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios at Center State Bank. We put business first. We are the largest community bank in the state of Florida and understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. Center State has 4 convenient Alachua County locations. Center State Bank, member FDIC. You want to thank our man JC for joining us on the Titan MR Hotline. And of course, Gators Chris. You can follow him on Twitter. That's Chris Harry. Does a tremendous job covering Gator basketball. Next week's lineup is outstanding. Check it out on Facebook. Make sure you follow us. Tell all your friends about us as well. Today's show's a wrap, brought to you by Rap Spot. Be safe, folks. We'll see you next week.